First, President Trump rolled out a new immigration proposal last week. It's already getting a skeptical reaction. The plan would make big changes to the country's current system, moving away from one that prioritizes family to instead focus on what the administration calls a merit-based system. Here's the president announcing the plan at the White House Rose Garden last week.
Our plan achieves two critical goals. First, it stops illegal immigration and fully secures the border. And second, it establishes a new legal immigration system that protects American wages, promotes American values, and attracts the best and brightest from all around the world.
Elise Cohen is an immigration expert and professor of political science at UW Green Bay. Elise, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Well, give us the broad strokes. What do you see in this plan from the White House to move to what they're calling more of a merit-based immigration system?
Yeah, this is really interesting. When we think about a year ago, a little more than that, in February of 2018, we can perhaps think the Trump administration may have been laying some initial groundwork for this. If you remember, back then we had his criticism of what he called chain migration, where they were really undermining this idea of the current system that's based primarily on family-based reunification rather than merit-based or skills-based. And so there may have been a little bit of a kind of intuition that we were headed in this direction if we were following things a year ago. But this is the first time we really see directly head on this discussion of overhauling the current system. It's expected to be perhaps the brainchild of Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, and one of his senior advisors, and something that's not as hardline as Stephen Miller's. So, for example, it would not reduce the overall number of immigrants legally permitted per year, but rather it would rebalance and reallocate that amount.
I want to give a little more of a listen to the president announcing this proposal and the tone he uses here.
Our proposal builds upon our nation's rich history of immigration while strengthening the bonds of citizenship that bind us together as a national family.
And Elise, as you mentioned, the number of legal immigrants allowed in doesn't change under this proposal. It's a different tone than we're used to hearing that tends to be more overall negative, it seems like, from the White House about all kinds of immigration.
You're absolutely right, Rob. What we hear is this rhetoric that actually puts Democrats in a really tough position. And that may be part of the strategy by saying, you know, this is actually pro-immigrant. This is something focused on how immigrants strengthen the country. Well, this is rhetoric that liberals and Democrats often use to describe why immigration is a net benefit. So in this sense, it's sort of painting them rhetorically into a corner that if you really believe immigrants strengthen the country because of the skills and the contributions they make to the economy, then why would you in any way be opposed to rebalancing the system to focus on merit-based or skills-based? So in some ways, we could see this maybe as kind of his 2020 election campaign, part of his immigration platform for 2020, that does make it really hard for Democrats to reject or argue against it.
Looking at family-based immigration and allowing someone to come in if, say, a spouse or a parent is already a U.S. Citizen, already in the U.S. Legally, talk about that. Is that a big departure from what we've seen historically in the U.S.?
Well, when he was criticizing chain migration last year, we saw a lot of misinformation. There was this idea that maybe nephews and cousins and aunts and uncles and all of these extended family members are being brought in, which is not the case. It's very strict, particularly if we're not looking at U.S. citizens. If we're just looking at the legal permanent residents, then they would only be able to bring in their spouse or their young children that are not adults. And so in that sense, it wouldn't mark a big departure. There was something I noticed in his speech, which was kind of interesting. He talked about new citizens also being limited to those categories. So whereas right now, if you're already a U.S. citizen, you could maybe bring your adult siblings, you know, request to bring in your adult siblings or perhaps your parents on a visa. He's saying in the speech, at least that he gave, that that may no longer be acceptable under his proposal.
Talking to Elise Cohen, immigration expert and professor of political science at UW Green Bay. Elise, a lot of people have been pointing at one thing not addressed in this proposal from the White House, DACA recipients, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Do we see anything at all about that?
Yeah, that's a really great point to mention here. One of the reasons that people reading kind of the debate surrounding this are questioning how much of it could actually occur in legislation that's proposed, are sort of skeptical that this is really going to be a policy plan, is the absence of the Deferred Action for Childhood, the DACA recipient status. There's nothing about the status of those current undocumented or unauthorized immigrant groups that he actually specifically mentions. And so this could perhaps indicate it's really more of like the speech and the platform for his 2020 campaign rather than something ready to go as a bill to be put forward by Republicans in either of the chambers.
Elise, you've talked to us about asylum seekers in the United States in past shows. What does this plan say when it comes to asylum?
Well, that is a really interesting part of this. If you look carefully at the language he uses in the speech, we see that he gives a couple strong language choices or phrasing choices when he talks about asylum. He describes it as a broken asylum system. He talks about the abuse of asylum, kind of doubling down on some earlier claims that his administration officials had made that there may be fraud or somehow illegitimate asylum applicants that are not truly fleeing a well-founded persecution. And you do see some of that in his speech. There's also this language that suggests the proposal would entail cutting back who is eligible to apply for asylum, which raises some concerns about possible violations of international law. So when we see the part or the component that emerges on asylum, that's where we see it's a little bit more in line with familiar themes of what we've heard before from the administration.
Now that and the lack of DACA protections, those are reasons Democrats might not be happy with this. It looks like some immigration hardliners are already reacting negatively, saying, hey, wait, we don't see any reduction in the number of legal immigrants that we've been hoping for from the president. What kind of reactions has this gotten from immigration opponents?
Yeah, that's a really fascinating angle. So you're absolutely right. We've heard some of those more restrictionist individuals writing letters to the editor, for example, someone affiliated with the Center for Immigration Studies in D.C., which is a very immigration restriction-focused think tank, saying exactly that. Well, it's not being restrictive enough because it's not lowering the overall number of legal immigrants allowed in. What's really interesting here is if we look closely, again, at some of the things hinted at in his speech at the Rose Garden, we may see the potential, even if it's not explicit, that ultimately if something like this were to become a bill that would be successful, it could still produce overall lower numbers because we see, for example, it would require English proficiency at a level that isn't currently required unless you are applying to become a naturalized citizen. It would require passing a civics exam, which again, that's something reserved only for those people that are trying to naturalize to become U.S. citizens right now. And in his speech, President Trump suggested this would be required for any immigrant in order to even get a visa, that they would first have to pass the civics exam. So if we would actually look at putting something like that into practice, it may in effect make it so much harder and the process more difficult to immigrate that we could see ultimately a drop in the overall numbers. It's just not being framed explicitly as purposefully trying to do that at this point.
And this idea of merit-based immigration seems to focus more on people with things like college degrees, as you just mentioned, more advanced English skills. There are concerns about from employers here in Wisconsin on dairy farms, among other places, service sector jobs. How would they be affected by this change?
Yeah, that's another really important angle of this. He mentions Canada, Australia as sort of models, and they do use this point system that gives a lot more preference in being able to immigrate legally if you have advanced degrees or if you have special skills. One thing to keep in mind is the Canadian and Australian systems, they have a lot more flexibility, so they can really adapt what those skills-based requirements would be according to changing labor market demands. The way we have our system in the U.S., where these per country caps and so on are set by Congress, it would be much harder to be adaptive to the labor market demands. And I think that's where you could see those concerns of, for example, dairy farmers or other service industries saying, well, how is this going to affect us if our system isn't really set up at the moment to handle those changes?
And briefly, as we wrap up, Elise, we've mentioned opposition to this proposal from both sides of the aisle. Is it likely we're going to see big moves on immigration between now and, I don't know, Election Day 2020?
Oh, yeah, a great question to end on. It's unlikely that we're probably going to see in Congress bills that are able to get traction to go through both chambers. But I think it's incredibly likely that we're going to see this being one of the lead, if not the lead, campaign platform issues for Trump and for Republicans heading into 2020.
Elise, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great to be with you, Rob.
That's Elise Cohen, professor of political science at UW Green Bay. She was with us today to talk about President Trump's proposals for changes to the nation's immigration system.